Welcome to Secret to My Success. For the next hour, you're going to hear fascinating stories from the people and personalities who found their success in business and in life. Now here's your host, Alan Bornstein.
Good day, this is Alan, Secret to My Success, and I get to be back in the studio with my brother, Mr. Louis Salicea. Yeah,
what's up, man?
How's it going? Louis.
Are you happy? No, you can't be happy that Red Sox are in the playoffs.
Oh, they went down quick. Oh my God, it was
that was
so
for the
bad.
Count. But have you watched at least any innings of the games?
I have, and it's to me absolutely pretty amazing that there's not one team from the American League East still in the playoffs.
That tells you a lot.
They all went down.
They all went down for the count.
So it's one of two things: either they weren't as good as they thought they were, or they took so much energy beating each other up all year long that they were just wasted when it came time to the playoffs.
They weren't as good as they thought they were.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Because
the better teams are there.
Really?
Yes.
Huh. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
So who's your prediction now?
Oof, that's a tough one. Because, I mean, I actually really like Atlanta before the last three games that I've seen. And they should have been out already, but they still got a chance. But, no, Philly's too hot. And, you know, when you get Harper hot and you get all those guys, you know.
I'm going with Texas.
Texas is, to me, a team that, they led the league in a lot of categories, like hard-hitting balls in the strike zone, better contact, home runs. I mean, they're really good. And
Louis, I'm going with Texas because you played for Texas. What other
teams are there now that you played for? They're good. Well, I played for the Rangers.
Right.
And that's it. The teams are there.
Exactly. So that's why I'm rooting for your team.
Houston, I don't think – I mean, they're good, but I don't think they're there. I mean, to me, Philly is going to be a tough one because they just got hot.
Pretty wild.
They got hot. I mean – and Arizona, I mean, I was with Louis Gonzalez, who's one of the guys that, you know, play there and lives there and works for the Diamondbacks. And a month ago, he was like, oh, man, we're not going to make it. I mean, he was really, really down. Like, all of a sudden, they get hot, and there they
are. Okay, one last question. Baseball. So they fired all the coaches from the Red Sox. Did you see that?
Yes.
The pitching coach. They're saying that, like, everybody that's left the Red Sox has prevailed somewhere else. Kind of interesting.
Look, man, you don't sign the right people and you get a lot of young players. It takes them a couple of years to get their feet on the ground. And, you know, you might come out and play well for a little bit of time, but the season is a long season and
right. You
have a lot of injuries. It's just not good. I mean, Cora was the best manager when he had the best players, right?
Right.
It's not hard to do.
Hey, Louis, I got to tell you, we're going to have a show just you and I talking sports sometime. But we have to get back to this. We have Dawn. Dawn, hello.
Hello.
She looks red. She must be happy.
Dawn, what's the boyfriend's first name?
Joey.
Is there a new tattoo somewhere with his name on there?
No.
You're not doing
you
that,
sure?
Are you?
I don't have any new tattoos.
You're not 100% committed just yet.
I'm committed.
You're not putting his name on your body, though.
No.
Right? That means you're not fully committed.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So has he put a tattoo with your name on his body?
No, but he probably would if I asked him to.
He would?
Oh.
Yeah. I dare you to.
I think he'll do anything I tell him to.
Let's do
really?
It.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Let's get him on the phone.
No.
Come on, let's get him on the phone. I'll talk to him.
Not right now.
Really?
He's here, though. He's here for a week.
And you didn't want to bring him into the studio because we could have a little more fun.
So
with
he can
this.
Meet you?
Yes.
He could harass him?
Not going to happen, huh?
Not today.
I get it.
Not today.
So.
What is it better, the first time or the second time?
Things are good right now. Things are good. You know?
Good to
we've
hear.
We've gone over a few bumps, but things are good. You know?
Lay the rules.
Speed bumps, you throw them out?
No, I didn't throw them out.
No?
So you get the rules?
Threw them around a little, but no.
Right?
You have the sheet of rules?
He threw me around a little.
The do's and don'ts?
The do's and don'ts. You know, it's all about, I guess, learning each other, right? And communicating good. And, you know.
Communicating good.
Yes. And the
you
other
mean
stuff.
Well?
Well, good, well, communicating.
I'm kidding.
However, yeah, but it's good. It is good. I'm happy.
Good.
You are?
You know, time will tell.
Happiness is relative.
Happiness is relative?
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
So, I mean, relative to everything else that's going on in your life. And you have a lot of cool stuff going on.
Yeah, you could say.
Right?
Uh-huh. We got Louis in here today. That's pretty cool.
Right?
Thank mm-hmm. you.
That's a really small bar that we got Louis in here, and now you're happy. Okay, so guys, we're going to talk. We're going to talk about a bunch of interesting
things. We got to go through this every week.
Okay, we're not getting there yet.
You've got to harass me.
So, look, the name of our show is Secret to My Success, right?
Yes.
And we've talked to all kinds of different people with all the different secrets to their success. And a lot of it's diligence, perseverance. Mm-hmm. It's about, you know, not being afraid to try new things. There's always, in baseball, we talked about this.
Delegating.
But even in baseball, it was about proper preparation. It was about doing the same things over, learning from your mistakes, discipline. So there's one thing that we've never really talked about, okay, and the secret to your success. So let's talk about Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs, everybody wanted to be Steve Jobs. Guy was brilliant, loved by all these great products, everything else. But when that man got cancer and he was dying, nobody wanted to be Steve Jobs anymore. It's sad. But the fact of the matter is, your health is at the basis of all the things that are the secret to your success. Would you agree with that, Louis?
1,000% without health. I mean, you know, you can have all the money in the world, and if we don't have any health,
correct,
you're done. You can't take it with you.
Correct. And a lot of money will buy you a lot of health. It'll buy you a lot of...
But not everything.
Right. Doctors.
Because you didn't take care of it before you got to that spot.
Right. So we're going to actually have a really candid conversation about health today. And I've actually brought in my personal endocrinologist. Mm. I've brought in Dr. Maria Gutierrez. So, yeah.
So you, that means you're really healthy?
No, I just brought my doctor because she's going to tell everybody here. I've signed my HIPAA compliance waiver. She can say anything she wants, okay? And I'm okay with that.
All right. Well, let's hear it.
But I can say one thing. This woman has taken me from an 8.9 HbA1c down to a 6.2. So yes, she's.
How long
I can
did take that
you,
take
I can
us,
take you a little
Alan,
bit lower
let's
than
not
that.
Talk right. about that. How long did it take us to achieve that? Let's not talk.
Yeah, but
about
we go
it.
Up and down.
No,
let's
talk about
do.
It.
We do. We go up and down.
Let's
I get,
talk about.
I get fat, dumb, and lazy for a long time, and then I start exercising.
Right. Yeah, fat, dumb, and lazy. So
yeah, exactly. Well, it happens.
And it's all about consistency. That's right. it. It's not just good enough to be good for a season. The trick to this, the secret to this, is the consistency of it and believing that you are worth it, that you are capable of doing this. Because, of course, everybody in the outside and the media and the marketing want us to fail in a way because they make it everything appear so healthy. But the truth is that we need to be educated about what we're putting in our bodies and understand that we can, like Louis says, prevent, but we can also reverse. The body has an immense capacity for regeneration, and that is what I really want to exalt in my patients and make them understand that it is possible.
And that's pretty amazing.
It is.
Look, you know, I've always loved you. You've been amazing. I've been with you. It's been...
Wow, over 15 years.
At least. And I got to tell you, it's this thing that she put on my arm, which makes a difference. I've got that.
Monitor. And I got one myself, even though I don't even have diabetes.
Right. Yes.
What is it?
And I was kidding around with her. I'm like, you should have it so you can see
what. It's a continuous glucose monitor.
Oh, okay.
So for patients that have some degree of insulin resistance or, you know, some pre-diabetes, diabetes, of course, whenever you eat something, you can see the rise in the blood sugar, and that is going to be followed by insulin. Hmm. And insulin is a storage hormone. So the more you eat that goes up, followed by insulin, guess where that food is going to go? As a storage in your belly. Where it's really, really bad, and people don't understand that. They think it's all about vanity, but it's not. The fat that you accumulate in your stomach is actually very inflammatory, and it can lead to all kinds of disease, not just cardiovascular disease, which is the one that we know most of, but think about it, cancers, Alzheimer's, autoimmune disease, many diseases.
I got to ask you, how do you get the patients? Is it through homeopathic medicine, to plants, to teas, through pills?
So there are all sorts of things. And look, I had been in traditional medicine for 23 years as a board-certified endocrinologist, okay? And I was the good girl. You know, I did exactly what they told me. And of course, we all have to have our own epiphany. Mm-hmm. In other words, suffering in flesh to really start seeing the light. And I didn't think I ever ate that bad. I mean, I never looked too bad to begin with.
No, right?
So I thought I could get away with it and whatever. But, you know, I thought it was pretty good. Until the day, August of 2022, that I found myself like a cripple in bed at the tender age of 51, okay? And I was in severe pain from arthritis, which, of course, I had blame in my genes. My mom had it, I'm going to have it. Blood pressure, oh, that wasn't of my doing. That's my parents' genes. I'm doomed to get that. You know, and little did I realize that it was what I was putting in my mouth, a lot of it. Because I was always an exerciser. So I said, well, I exercise. I'm never going to get diabetes. I'm never going to get this, right? But when I saw the light, when I was in so much pain and at 3 a.m, I had to Google my way to an anti-inflammatory diet now, within 3 days. Huh. You know what the revelation was? Not only was my pain 80% better by just following this way of eating that I didn't think I was possible to do. No, the revelation was that my energy level within 3 days, when sky, you know, 4 p.m. came, and instead of me being brain fried, which I blame on the 30 pages I had to see and all that, I was so clear of my mind. I said, well, how is this possible if I didn't eat the foods that I thought were giving me energy? Oh, my brain is sugar for work, for good functioning. That was completely false. You know, I had heard about 5-6 years ago, I went to a conference and I heard that if you eliminate, say, sugar, that you can decrease your chances of Alzheimer's.
Right.
And you know, my mother has Alzheimer's. She's now terminal. I mean, she's almost 90 years old. It was very sad. She was a brilliant pediatrician, right? So, you know what I thought when they told me that 5 years ago, diminished sugar, I said, well, that ain't gonna happen. That's impossible. What do you want me? You want to be a cranky person? How am I gonna work if I don't have my sugar, right?
Yeah.
That was false. And it was my own belief, thinking that I was incapable of doing. And that is what I want to tell everybody. It is not impossible. And yes, with the wonderful medications that we have nowadays, we can start the process. I'm so grateful to my blood pressure pills that I had to take, because otherwise I would have had a stroke, right?
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? Through a whole year of really putting in touch, really listening to the body and doing the right thing, eating the right things, I'm off my 2 blood pressure pills. And I'm so grateful for that.
So it's interesting you say that. Mm. So listening to your body. The problem is, like, I think most people don't understand the signs and what to hear.
Yeah.
Right.
So like that monitor that you gave me. So I was the guy who checked it maybe once a week. I hate it checking. I hate it.
Why? Why did you? Oh, checking the
big. I hated checking my finger. Yes. Okay, I mean, it got to the point where I was doing it when I was on. I was doing it all the time.
That's
I could squeeze my finger and bleed without a needle. Oh. I mean, so it was brutal, and I didn't understand it. And when you finally put me onto the monitor, I could actually see in real time what food was doing to me.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
I found out I was a guy who was drinking 12 diet sodas a day. Easy. We'd go out for lunch. I'd have 4 diet sodas.
You see, it's like I was told you. You are what you eat, right?
Yeah.
So, and I kind of grew up, you know, in Puerto Rico eating fried foods and all that other stuff, but I don't eat rice. I don't even remember last time I had rice.
Right.
You know, I learned throughout my years in playing ball that to function a certain way, to build muscle, to build lean muscle, you had to eat certain things. Right. So I don't even give my kids sodas. I don't buy sodas.
But I was actually seeing that when I was eating, and I'm drinking all these sodas, and I'm checking my blood sugar levels, that as I was drinking soda, the food would spike me, and I would stay higher longer. So if I wasn't drinking, the soda, I'd go up, but it would come right back down almost instantly.
Yeah.
So I cut a lot of soda out, and milk. I love milk. I could drink a gallon of milk a day. Seriously.
A lot of lactose. That's sugar, too, you know.
I could drink milk a gallon a day. And I was drinking milk before I go to bed, and my blood sugars are going crazy all night long. And there were just certain things. So like you said, you have to listen to your body, but you have to figure out the methodology to hear what it's saying.
And that's why I'm so grateful to modern science, that we have all these gadgets nowadays, wonderful medications and all that. But you have to do it, right? And you have to learn from that and use that as a tool to learn, so that eventually you don't have to become a slave to all these things, right? That you can be liberated and have a wonderful life. Because like I always say, sure, with modern science, we can get you to your 90s. Sure, with 2 knee replacement, 5 stents, and this long list of medications, if you can afford it. If you can, well, that's your problem.
Yeah, right? Suffer, right?
But so let's talk about diabetes, and we'll go there. We're going to go to where you are now and what you're doing. But there's a playbook, right? Everybody gets metformin, right? Little Farxiga. There's a list of drugs that everybody gets put on.
Yeah.
And that's just what the mandate is. And if you're seeing 30 patients a day, you don't get a lot of time to understand what the needs and hear what my body's saying, it's what kind of medicine's going
to
give
you. You know, what really hurt me, I had gone to a conference, you know, because I keep up with everything, right? And when I heard the big doctor telling us, oh, like, in other words, you need to start the patient, throw in medications right away, in other words, because there's no hope for them. But geez, if I never tell my patient that if you only change the thing,
the way, yeah,
you
lifestyle.
Can get away. But we don't have time to talk about nutrition. We just say, oh, diet and exercise, like this, as if you know exactly what to do.
What does that mean,
and
right?
And as we all know, diet can be so complicated because, listen, you get into the internet and you hear people talking so fervently about this diet and then the other diet. And what I've learned in 23 years of seeing patients, 30 patients a day, it wasn't of my making, believe me, I work for other people, right? But it was like we all have different bodies, different genetics, and the diet that can be wonderful for you may not be for you. However, there's some universal truths, and I'm going to tell you right now that ultra-processed foods are literally killing us, and people don't realize it.
Twinkies,
ultra
donuts,
processed, what? Not just that. You know, ultra processed foods are anything. Look, when you read the ingredients on a box or a bag, if it has more than three ingredients, forget about it. That's ultra processed food. Processed food can be things like a yogurt, kefir, you know, sauerkraut, because they were processed, right? But no, the ultra processed are really the evil. But they can marketing can do everything, right? Please, the Cheerios story. Oh, Lordy. If they can only wear a continuous glucose monitors and
with the
see
Cheerios.
What the special case and the Cheerios of the world do to you. And let's not get started with drinks. But anyway.
It's interesting because everybody knows everything, right? You're having lunch with a guy who says, I'm a vegan.
Well, but that's not.
He's a 45-pound overweight vegan.
Right.
So you've
got
to wonder if he's on the vegan
because
Twinkie diet.
Vegans
because
can
Twinkies
eat the Twinkies,
can
right.
eat vegan. Right.
Yep. Right. Yes. So, you know,
what do you tell to somebody that says, I know it all? I'm well-versed. I'm educated.
Right, exactly. So, you know, nowadays we have many studies that we can do. We can check your chemistry, right? We can take a look. Because I've seen people doing a certain diet and they do extraordinary work. And all their lipid parameters, their blood sugars are wonderful. And then another individual doing the same diet can become horrible, horrible cholesterol, horrible. Everybody's different. And, you know, the good news is nowadays we can even do genetic analysis, the genomics, to really see what things may be better for you or the others. Again, we can do blood work and know this. And another thing, don't ever forget, look, if you eat something and it makes you feel sleepy, bloated, this and that, even if it's a whole food,
right,
it may not be right for you in this season.
Don, you hear that? Routine. Alcohol. You need to stop.
Do you believe in teas and things like that?
Well, listen, I, as a traditional medicine doctor, you know, we are trained mostly by pharma, I have to say. I mean, that's the reality, right? So we're just ready to prescribe because we only have like 7 minutes on average to see a patient, right? Which is extremely complicated nowadays. In the old days, when it was only to treat a little infection, okay, you give an antibiotic, that's it. These are very complicated medical problems, the chronic diseases, right? So imagine what you can do in 7 minutes. Not much, right? When you have four patients waiting for you. So the minute I walk in, you're saying something, I'm already writing a prescription so I can strategize getting out of that room fast without really getting to what caused it. And you know, I felt I was just putting band-aids on people all the time, and I'm grateful for the Ozempics and the Mounjaros of the world. Believe me, I was probably the biggest prescriber having a clinic of diabetes, right? And I'm grateful that I changed the life of those people. But like one patient told me, he lost 30 pounds on Ozempic, and I asked, so what did you have for lunch today? He told me, well, I had half of hamburger and 5 goldfish. Look, poison is still poison, right? So that's not going to nourish the rest of your body, getting your micronutrients and all of that. So there's so much. And so, you know, that's why I feel that medicine nowadays have to be personalized. But of course, you know, everything that's about economics and, you know, if you buy cheap food, that's what you're going to get. If you, you know, cheap
Alan.
Things.
But I got to tell you, you never made me feel like a factory widget.
Well, because, you know, that's why I was always running behind Alan. Because I really wanted to do a little bit more, but my tools were limited and I did the best I could. But I cried, you know, it makes me feel like all those time, missed opportunities that now that I looking back, I could have helped people in so much more, but I just honestly had a limited knowledge and it was good enough for a lot of people. But you know what? Now I want optimal for everyone that has, you know, that gives me, say, the privilege to touch their lives, you know?
You were just saying something?
I grew up with in Puerto Rico, and the best thing about having one Puerto Rican in the show is having two Puerto Ricans.
Yes.
So, you know, my grandmother used to cure people a lot with plants. So I used to see her when I was a kid. Now, I got into a habit of sitting at home and drinking bottle of wine, watching Netflix, two bottles of wine. By the time I was like, and it got to a habit like every night we're drinking wine. And I'm like, I got to stop this. So all of a sudden I started going to the health food store. You know, I bought, you know, a different type. I took turmeric. I bought fresh turmeric. I brought, always got garlic at the house. I always had ginger. I get hierbabuena. I bet a different type. Oh, yeah. And I make myself a tea every night. I'm going to tell you what, it's the best thing I've done. Because I sleep really, really good. I feel great. And I gave you a plan about a year ago.
I gave you a plan.
Eso se llama Cundiamor. It's called bitter melon. That's the best thing for diabetes.
Listen.
I know people. No, it's true because I tested it with a friend of mine at the farm that had it. And it lowers his thing from like 200 in 2-3 days for like 60.
Listen, Luis, to your point, you know, when I was actually start saying and I got distracted saying all those things was that, yes, we used to say put down all this, oh, vitamins and so oh, that's people that get B12 and get energy. Oh, that's in their heads, right? It is completely true. And you know what it is that, of course, because it's not pharma, because you cannot take a natural compound in it's, you know, like turmeric or ginger and make money with it other than a supplement, right?
That's why
we don't promote it as physician. But of course, the qualities of all those nutrients are amazing. Believe me, now I take a bunch of supplements. I never used to believe on them. And now, I was able to get off my blood pressure pill because now I take an adaptogen. You know, I take Hawthorn berry and I take beetroot powder.
It's wonderful.
I
want to hear about this. This root he's telling me I should be taking. What's it called again?
Cundiamor.
Have you heard of it? You can find it.
I have plenty of patients that told me about that.
It's a weed that you see in your backyard. You see it in every golf course. There's everywhere. And he had this orange little thing like that. And you pop and they have this red beets inside. When we was kids, we used to eat the red beets. And I don't kill you, you know. But you can make a tea out of that every day. And you can drink a cup in the morning and a cup at night. And I guarantee you, and I can put money on it.
He was trying to get me to fire you. He was going to fix my diabetes for me.
I did. And I helped. And I'm like, you don't trust it? Come on, do it.
You know, I believe in all of it. And that's why I decided to step out of what I was doing.
You switched your practice and how you...
I feel now that my toolbox have greatly increase, not only in things that I can do to test, but in things that I can provide. And, you know, one of the secrets to really make sure you don't really get into trouble is making sure where you get your supplements for, right? Because they are regulated, but you got to be careful. And it's like with everything, right? But if you get a good quality product and you research them well, boy, plants, nature give us all, I mean, all these medications also come from plant stuff, but absolutely, I agree 100%. You can do so much with nutrition and food.
We're gonna
get all Louis' little ideas here. We gotta write them down. I need that tea. I'm gonna try it.
I'm telling you,
I'm gonna put that plant in my backyard.
So we actually had a guest on here that I've known really well, and he actually knows how to make anything that you want to make.
Mm-hmm.
Legitimately.
As far as vitamins, teas,
vitamins, food? Teas, drinks. He has all of the resources to create this stuff so that you can create your own remedies.
Right. And, you know, one of the things about it is there could be, if you start thinking about it, there could be thousands of things that you can be taking. But it can get, say, expensive because you have to buy all these things. But nowadays, let me tell you, there is a way to decide what are the best supplements for you. Of course, you can start saying, well, if you have diabetes, if you have high blood pressure, we know, or if you have stress, you can do ashwagandha or whatever it is. But also, you nowadays, just to let you know, we can even do genetics that will tell us what specific problems you have. For example, I find out, I did my genetics, turns out that my mitochondria, which is the power unit within the cell, right, that it needed more CoQ10 and B12 to function properly. Now, why in the world would I have ever taken CoQ10 or B12? Because my B12 level was fine. I'm not a vegan. I don't take a statin drug. Why do I need CoQ10? Well, it turns out that according to this SNP that I have, doing that increased greatly my capacity to exercise because I wasn't getting fatigue. Now, I always exercise, but I would get fatigue very quickly. Since I've started taking those supplements at the right dose, you know, I mean, I follow that. It's been amazing. It's been like I really noticed a difference, but I would have never imagined that I needed to take those based even on my regular blood work.
Right.
So it's fascinating. It's a fascinating time to be in this. And I tell you something, this is, this is the one thing that I love to do the most, taking care of people and just learning more every day. I'm a student again. I've always been a student, but it's just fascinating to me, you know.
That's beautiful. All
we're
right, going to so
take
right
a
now,
small break, yes, we have and to we're going to come right back, mm-hmm. and we're going to hear about what she's doing, and then we're going to go over my med list and see what she's taking me off now, okay?
<Yes.
laughs> We'll be right back.
Does your business have at least one employee? Did you get PPP money round one? Did you wait too long to get round two? Even if you got PPP round one or two, or didn't get a dime of PPP, you might be eligible for money for employing people during the pandemic. The program is called Employee Retention Credits. ERC is being advertised all over the radio, TV, and internet. Companies are popping up promising you hundreds of thousands of dollars from the government. They are charging really large fees too. The ERC program is legitimate. The question is, are you using a legitimate company to get what you deserve? Many of these companies have popped up and will disappear after they've been paid. ERC is a payroll program. You want to trust an established and stable payroll company that will be there for you if there are ever questions from the IRS. Workgroup Payroll will evaluate what you are eligible to receive. No shortcuts. You will get paid what you deserve. Our fees are lower than anyone trying to get your business. We do not earn a dime until you receive your ERC money. Call us now to see how much money your business is legitimately eligible to receive. 561-953-2007 or email alan@workgrouppayroll.com.
Welcome back. This is Alan, Secret to My Success, here with Dr. Maria Gutierrez. You have a new last name, don't you?
That's right.
What are we going by now?
Dr. Maria Gutierrez Horn.
Horn.
Yeah.
Toot toot.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's
beautiful.
Right.
Okay, so let's talk about this. So you have now left what I would call traditional factory medicine,
yes.
where everybody's on a conveyor belt.
Yes.
It's kind of like the Lucy thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Get as much chocolates in your mouth because they're going by you and you're losing out.
Yes.
So, yes, I was one of those patients. Not with you, but with some of these other doctors, that's what's happened.
Yeah.
So you're going on your own. You started a new practice. Let's talk about what you're doing.
So, you know, again, when I told you I had this epiphany about a year and a half ago that really I noticed how nutrition and changing my ways really transformed my health in an incredible way. So for the next 6 months, I tried to tell all my patients that because I treat patients with diabetes, hypertension, and they all can greatly benefit from changes in their lifestyles. And when I realized it's only like an eighth of them wanted to hear what I had to mm-hmm. say, and I felt I had the moral obligation to tell them all, right? And those that really took my word and start doing this, they're doing amazing.
So you're saying
but
certain
many
people
of them
want the
did
pills.
Not, right? And you were one of those, Alan. I give you
no,
credit,
not me.
You know, you really improved your condition greatly, you know, but many people was just give me the pill and I don't care. I want to continue my life the way it is. And I realized I wanted to really help those that really wanted to help themselves. And more so when I learned that there was a protocol for the prevention and reversal of Alzheimer's on a base of functional medicine. At that moment, I felt I had that moral obligation to tell people about it. And look, like I say, 2 months ago, we got a new medication for the treatment of Alzheimer's, probably the first successful one. But again, what does it do to you? The studies show it decreases, it delays the cognitive decline by 5 months in 37% of the patients, right? So, I mean, we're not talking about reversing. We're talking about delaying. And this disease is just so painful because I saw it not only in my own mother, but I saw it 23 years of seeing my patients going from mild memory loss to full-blown, it breaks my heart for those spouses, the family. You know, the moment that my mother could not tell who I was, that was really extremely painful. And I really don't want people to suffer when there is a way, but the people got to know. And that was where my conviction grew. And then, you know, I got this message that I say that I had to do this. And me, I honestly never felt that I had the courage to step out of the tradition, you know. But, you know, when I felt I had to tell my husband about this, and he just looked at me and he said, well, let's get on with it. And so here I am 9 months later from look, that day.
So is it diet? Like, what is that reversal besides the medication?
So why are we doing that protocol? I got certified on a protocol called the RECODE protocol and the PRECODE protocol, which is, again, for the prevention and reversal. This was formulated by Dr. Dale Bredesen. He's a neurologist out of California who has been doing research for 30 years. And the concept of this protocol is that you identify there being about 36 contributors to inflammation of the brain, because you got to understand that Alzheimer's mostly happen when you have this amyloid plaque, right? This protein that goes there to patch up the inflammation, right? But so what these new medications do, they try to remove that, you know, that amyloid, right? And in the way of doing that, it can cause some problems like inflammation of the brain and a little spot brain bleeds, etc. So, you know, these drugs are not completely innocuous, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they have very, you know, harsh potential side effects. But the thing is, like, if you don't remove, if you don't get what is the root cause. Now, again, it's not just one contributing factor, because people can say, well, I take this one supplement or I took care of that. So it's diabetes type 3, what they call it. No, it can be many things. And if you take care of one but not five, it's like Dr. Bredesen explains. It's like you have, you know, 36 holes in the roof. You patch two, but you don't patch the rest. You're not going to see the effect. So what we do in this protocol, we systematically go through everything. Now, this is not for someone that just wants the easy fit. You know, it really takes a motivated patient with resources and, well, excuse me, to prioritize, because people always find it when they want it. But you got to see what is most important to you. And like why we say here at the beginning of this, you know, show is like, you know, without health, you have nothing. You can have all the money in the world. I mean, I felt it, right? I was like a cripple in bed when I was in so much inflammation, right? So by being in health, you can really then enjoy the life and enjoy with others and not become like a burden to your loved ones. Yeah.
So your new facility is in Lantana?
Yes, in a very quaint little area there in Lantana, next to a bakery shop.
Right next to a very busy bakery shop.
I think that people that go there, they don't, at this point, they're like, whatever.
Are you indulging in the bakery?
That's absolutely funny. Not. I mean, I just, listen, I used to be, like a lot of people, a carbohydrate addict, if you will, sugar addict. But since I've seen the light, I absolutely love my health and feeling good more than I love any other pastry or sugary drink or anything like that. And just, and people innocently, they really don't know. You know, you see people walking around with those big, you know, cold coffees, whatever. They had no clue how much sugar they put in those. It's crazy. They have no idea, right?
So you're not drinking coffee anymore.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying anything bad about coffee. I just don't need coffee anymore for energy. And I realized I really dehydrated me and it was affecting my sleep. That doesn't do it to everybody. Right. It has great qualities, good polyphenols.
Right?
But again, for me in particular, it wasn't serving me the purpose. I really don't need it. I have plenty of energy. I mean, I honestly feel like 18 again. You know? And, you know, but it wasn't the case. You know, when I was 50 years old and I was, again, I came to expect that I was going to get arthritis, I'm going to get high blood pressure, I'm going to get all these problems. And, you know, I had all these women coming to see me for thyroid problems, all right? And they were tired. And I was just to think to myself, are you kidding me? I'm more tired than you. You know, I was thinking to myself, right? Learn to budget your energy. You know, little did I know that wasn't normal either. I had blamed it on, you know, I used to envy my 80 years old patients that told me they did all these things. I was like, whoa, I'm so envious of them. But now I get it. That wasn't normal. You know, you don't, just because you're aging, you have to have low energy and have all these medical problems. No, it is completely possible to avoid that. But even if you are there, I want people to know that there is hope, that there is reversal, there is regeneration. And that's why I gave off all that I had, you know, my steady salary or all the tradition, to really take a leap of faith and do this, because people need to know.
Nice.
Louis walks in your office, new patient, fellow Puerto Rican resident friend. Tell me, what process does he go through at your facility to understand his
sure.
health needs?
Well, I mean, the first thing is to do a good detailed history and physical. And, you know, I'm now part of the Institute of Functional Medicine. Functional medicine is about treating the body as a systems, right? And looking at the root cause of the problems, right? Instead of, like, treating just, oh, hypertension with a little bit of your medication that, you know, will do the trick, right? No, you look at why is that happening? What happened in your body? What are you lacking? Many times, micronutrients are so important, and we don't talk enough about it in our practices because, well, that's not really what we do. We were never trained on nutrition in medical school. I mean, 1 hour, 2 hours, not even significant. And we poo-poo all the vitamins. Oh, yeah, you know, there was a study that came out, oh, those that take vitamins are... No, I mean, there's so much more. If you, like, listen, the perfect analogy here is that I planted some plants, right? They were beautiful plants. But I was so lazy. I didn't have time. And I just wanted to have it done, right? I didn't buy good soil. And I thought that it was enough in the dirt that they came with, right? And I planted there in the dry soil with some sand. What did I expect? Of course, they died within a month, right? Because there was not enough soil. Well, it's the same thing in our bodies, right? If we don't have the right nutrients, how do you think you're going to repair your DNA? You know, the difference between young and getting old, when you're young, your body can take a lot of insults, right?
Yeah.
Because you still have this great ability to repair. But when you get to be older, that goes down. And so you have, there's no room for error after the age of 50, let me tell you. You got to be on top of your game. And that's what I help people to do.
Hey,
look, start with your whole physical exam, see where your issues are, and then some do basic blood work and more extensive blood work depending on the needs, right?
I went through that. I do a physical every year, and I had about 6 months ago, and it seems to be everything normal. But again, I try to, but sometimes
we have to look a little further down. Right. For example, in the world of diabetes, right? So we look at the A1C, we look at your sugar, but we never look at the insulin. In fact, we're like the American Diabetes Association advise against checking insulin, right? Insulin. But yet, if you have a normal sugar, and your insulin level is really high, that is starting to tell us something. You've developed insulin resistance. And insulin resistance can manifest in many different ways, not just at the eventual development of prediabetes and diabetes, but make no mistake, hypertension too. And high, you know, many other cardiovascular diseases. So you see, if you start taking care, why are you becoming insulin resistant? Oh yeah, because you're eating too much of things that you shouldn't be eating, right? If you only knew that, then you can really avoid a lot of problems to come.
But there's other things that they say almost every male starts losing testosterone.
Sure.
So when you start losing testosterone, you lose the ability to...
Yeah, hormones are extremely important.
And that creates a lot of brain fog, right? Like that low.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things, there are six different types of Alzheimer's, right? And one of them, type 2, is what we call trophic. That patients start not having enough hormones, enough nutrients. And of course, some people are more sensitive than others, right? There are some women that can say be without estrogen and stuff like that, and they're perfectly fine until their 80s and their 90s. But other people, based upon their genetics, if they're lacking those hormones, ooh, it can have a great impact on their cognition and their overall well-being. And the same thing goes with men. Like I said, we're all different. So it really helps for us to really target it to you and do all the extensive tested that it takes for you to know what you really have to do to keep this up.
But I've said this all along, like if you're 25 years old and 350 pounds, you're not a diabetic. But if you're 45 years old and 350 pounds, you're almost automatically a type 2
Listen,
diabetic.
Listen, the sad reality we're starting to see of type 2 diabetes in very young people. I still remember
babies
the day when
that.
I was in medical school.
Babies didn't get that.
Listen.
It's type 1.
It was unheard of in kids. Except for when I was in residency back in the early 1990s, and we start hearing of cases of kids that were 12 years old, 8 years old with type 2, and we're like, what? That's impossible. Now they approve, like, Wegovy and Ozempic for the young. Imagine that.
Where they've just, if they would change how they, the, you know, change how
and
they
again,
eat
it's
and
not
get on a good
sometimes
diet.
Even their fault. They go to school, their fetal vat is all about, you know, it's all about money and big pharma. And, you know, and big, you know, the... Yeah, we can get very political about this whole thing, but, you know, it's not all the fault of the parents. You know, the kids start eating these foods that are provided in school
schools,
and
everywhere.
What they see around, and they don't even think it's bad. In fact, they market everything healthy, but it has a detriment to them, and it's a vicious cycle.
So I was the guy that used to fight you all the time, okay? I didn't want medicine. You were trying to give me medicine, and I didn't want medicine.
Oh, yeah.
And I used to believe that the more medicine I take, the less my body says, well, I don't have to work.
Right.
If I'm taking a medicine, my body says, why bother? Right?
Yeah.
So I used to fight you, and you used to always yell at me and tell me, look, Alan, enough. At one point when my triglycerides were 1,600, you were ready to kill me. You know, you're going to end up pancreatitis. And I dropped it from 1,600 down to 600. And then you said, you need to take medicine. I'm like, I just dropped 1,000 points. And I get it. But I think that there's got to be a methodology, and I'm glad that you're practicing this, because every time you take a pill, you're letting your body know that you've got a crutch, limp.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's why eventually I work really, really hard to get off my blood pressure pills, because even those, I mean, don't get me wrong, they can be extremely life-saving for people that are not willing to make changes. But that's different now. That if I give a medication to a patient, I say, look, I'm going to give you just to help you, bridge you over to get to the other side. But our ultimate goal is to get off of these medications. You know, it's like when I start people on Ozempic or Mounjaro, which I'm so grateful for, right? I've been able to take patients off insulin and all of that, but I tell them, look, this is just to help you, not to maintain you the rest of your life, which is like what most people want to do, right?
So you're telling me I need to throw out my Ozempic?
No, please don't ever, please stop taking any medication until you speak to your own doctor, because everybody is different. But the point is, if we don't ever teach our patients that it is possible, if you do this and that, how are they ever going to know? You trusted me, right? And I did the best I could with all that I was indoctrinated to do. Oh, this patient, diabetic, oh, you have to be right off the bat on 5 medications and there's no hope. And if you're not taking this, oh, you're going to go back. But did I ever spend the time with you to tell you, to really explain to you, look, this is how this nutrient is so important to you, and taking this medication is diminishing you from absorbing this very important, you know, minerals and vitamins that make such a big difference. So that's what it's all about.
So, but genetics play a pretty big part. Every time you go to the doctor, everybody asks, how old's your father? How old's your mother?
Sure.
Who's got cancer?
Right.
Who's got diabetes?
But like everybody says, you know, genetics loads the gun. This is a famous saying. It's, you know, the genetics loads your gun, but your lifestyle pulls the trigger. Remember that. So not because, you know, not because my mother had this and that, am I going to get it? No. Now I have the knowledge and education to really transform, and that's what I want. I feel now I have more muscles than I've ever had in my entire life. I couldn't believe
it. Yeah, you look good.
Thank you.
So
can we talk more about, like, the memory, right, and that
Alzheimer's?
Did you forget that?
No, I did. I'm serious, though. I struggle. Like, my memory is, like, gone. It's terrible. Like, the brain fog and stuff, I'm going to cry because it's bad.
Dawn.
Like, I don't remember. Like, there's so many things, like, I just, it's gone.
Dawn, it was the drugs.
And this is the
so
moment
maybe.
To have this check. Let me to your point, Dawn, and this is extremely important.
I will.
Listen, this is why I'm here. Because this process does not start when you are 65 or so. It starts in your 20s and 30s. There's four stages of dementia.
And they tell me, the doctors tell me I'm crazy, you know.
No, like, well, not, you go, but listen, if you go to the doctor right now saying that, they say, oh, you're fine, look at you, you can still function. Oh my goodness, there is an asymptomatic phase that can last 10 to 40 years. I mean, I'm sorry, 10 to 20 years. And then there's another stage called subjective impair you know, subjective cognitive impairment, which is what you're talking about, that you feel there's something wrong with you. Oh my God, I cannot calculate the way I used to. I'm forgetting this or this and that, right? But you're still functioning extremely well, mm-hmm. right? Now, that is the time to really address this and reverse this. And there is hope, right? Because if you wait until people start really noticing, until they call mild cognitive right. impairment, now at that point, we can still do something, absolutely, right? But after that is stage four, is when, okay, everybody now see it. And finally, your doctor accept that there's something wrong with you because everybody's finally saying so.
Right.
And then what do they do? Offer you these medications that really don't do too much for you. A little bit, but you're already on the other side, right? Listen, it has to be now. And if we now, right now, identify through checking, again, some specific blood work, and we see there is hope and you can do it, you see? That is, a lot of people want to put their head into the sand. Oh, I don't want to know. I don't want to know my genetic because there's nothing I can do. That is far from the truth nowadays.
I think knowing your genetic part is going to help you if you really want to understand, do I want to get there?
Absolutely.
So knowing that, in my family, there's high blood pressure, there's right. Parkinson's. So now what do I need to do so I don't get to that spot?
Louise, let me just say something in the case of Alzheimer's. There's 15% of the population that have this genetic mutation called the ApoE4 epsilon 4 gene, okay? ApoE and ApoE4. And so what it is those people have a great propensity to develop Alzheimer's, okay? Now, but there's 30% of, you know, but there's, you know, in the studies of Alzheimer's, in fact, in this latest study that they did, that they approved this latest drug called, I mean, not the latest drug, really, the one drug that is supposed to really help patients with Alzheimer's, Lenikibib, something like that, yes. I mean, they have all these weird names nowadays, right? They, you know, most of the patients, like 60% of patients in this study did have one of the variants for this ApoE4 gene, okay? But 30% did not. So even if your genetics say that you don't have this variant, you can still get dementia. How? Because there is a toxic type. So say if your body, and again, you can even know this by the genetics, but a different type of genetics, right? If you do not metabolize well toxins, say like mold toxins or glyphosate, you know, herbicides and all that stuff, it can really do a number on you, right? So you can live in the same household and two people are perfectly fine, but the other ones start getting sick and you don't suspect it's the household because the other people are perfectly fine. But based on your genetics, you cannot metabolize those toxins and those toxins start causing inflammation to your brain. And the same thing goes with oral health and the microbiome. Again, there are 36 contributing factors. So please don't delay. You know, if you start experiencing something like that, it is time to do something.
But even still, by starting it now, you get the baseline where you are to see where you're going. Because that's a big problem.
And
you
start implementing changes.
You know at that point when it's bad.
Yes.
But you don't know how far and how long it took you to get from point A to point B.
Again, this is a process that takes 20 to 30 years to start. And nowadays, there are biomarkers not still super commercially available. There's still in research like the p-tau 181, you know, there are certain biomarkers that you can start saying, and if you have those, you better get on with it. In other words,
I believe this, and medicine it probably applies as well, that when all you own is a hammer, everything looks like a nail, right? Whatever you have, that's what we're gonna do. And my dad's 96 years old, and my dad goes to the doctor every 2 months, all the time. He goes to the doctor all the time. And last week, he's up, man, he couldn't go to the bathroom. They check him. And somehow, some way, somebody finally does a CT scan. Oh. And in this 95-year-old guy, they find a 4-centimeter by 6-centimeter mass in his liver. They think it's pancreatic cancer. Now they think it might be kidney cancer. This guy's been going to the doctor every 2 months.
Right.
And somehow, some way, nobody figured out through his blood work that there's something going on. Through any of his exams, like, people just, you know, if it doesn't hurt,
right,
they don't want to know about it.
there could be subtle changes that you can start see. But again, who has time to take a look at that? You take care of the main problem. Like I said, when you have a 7-minute visit with a doctor, they're just going to look at the one big thing and you're going to walk out satisfied because they gave you a prescription. Right. But again, we're not looking at the subtleties. Even me, I mean, I'm to blame. You know, I treat patients with thyroid disease and many times I say they had, say, antibodies to the thyroid gland, right? Which is already telling you that you have an immune problem going on, right? But you look at the actual hormone, well, your actual hormones are fine, go in peace, you know, there's nothing you could do about it, just come back when you're sicker, right? Nowadays, I know there are things that we can do, and it's not just going to be maybe the thyroid that's going to go bad, other things that is going to, you know, other immune problems, you know, they run, the person has one, they can have three or four, but we never stop and look at the root causes of the problem. That's what I want to do now.
So you don't want to just take a look at the one little narrow lane. You want to look at the whole thing.
Absolutely. And my duty, you know, my hope is to really convince the patient, educate my patients, and again, put them then the belief that it is possible, because we all feel that there's nothing we can do, that we're helpless. Just give me the pill. Just give me the magic pill. You know why? It takes your effort. And again, look, and that is one of the reasons, and I'm going to put it this way very clearly, I don't take insurance. You know why? Because the insurance would obligate me to see patients the way everybody's seeing patients. And this it wasn't my own practice. Let me tell you, yes, I could say, oh, you know, it was my boss that's making me see all these patients. No. I've spoken with doctors that have their own practice and they really feel compelled that if they don't see X amount of patients, they cannot make ends meet, blah, 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 right? But I feel like, look, if you're not willing to make the sacrifice to pay for this, you're not going to be willing to make a sacrifice for your health. If you feel your health is worthy, I mean, look, people walk around with $1,000 in purses and they do cosmetic procedures and all that because they feel it's worth it to them. What is your health worth it to you, right? I mean, if you just want to do whatever, then you just go to the general stuff and you get what you pay for. So you really do get what you pay for.
But the issue comes down to this. You think about it. These insurance companies negotiate these rates.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So what you're getting from an insurance company, you have to see 30 patients in order.
Correct. That's why that happens. And I refuse, you know. And again, you know, I am grateful. Listen, I am grateful for the opportunity that I have to see all those patients and in some way impact their lives, even if it was in a lesser amount, you know, quantity, and I was able to help them in some capacity, right? And there's a need for that. But at this point, after putting in the time, right, and run, you know, I ran it in the hospital. I didn't sleep every other week. I was not sleeping because I was on call in the hospital. And I did my duty, right? But now I've seen the lab and I have so much knowledge and I want, you know, that's why my business is called Beyond Hormones. Optimal body and brain health. This is not for everybody, okay? If you want to be mediocre, please, you don't belong in my club here, okay? No, I'm sorry. This is for those who believe that age is not, you know, it's not about a number. You know, it's so funny. I have this machine called the InBody 570, and it tells you about your body composition, how much muscle, how much fat. And guess what? We do not take in consideration. Those calculations are not take age into consideration, okay?
I'm scared.
It takes gender and height into consideration. So don't think like I did to think, oh, I'm getting old, that's the way it goes. I have low energy. I have all these problems. They're inevitable. That is absolutely not true. And some of my patients did show this to me. You know, like I saw so many patients and I saw, look, I tell you something. I saw this woman. I couldn't believe it. I mean, she was this lady I saw 2 months ago in my previous practice. And she's sitting there with these jeans, and she's looking hot, okay? And guess I went, you know what age she was? She was 87 years old.
Wow.
I could not believe my eyes. But that woman hits a gym 2 hours a day, and she takes hormones, and she does this and that, and she probably has good genes too. But you know what? She works hard for it. You know, if you work hard for something, you'll get it, right? But you have to have the right knowledge. And I feel for the people that just gets, you know, all this marketing. Oh, this product is very healthy, and I eat that. And, you know, they eat all this food thinking it's so healthy. And you know what? It may not. So you got to look further. That's all.
Doc, how do they see you? How do they get to you? How do they schedule an appointment?
Well, you can go to my website at www.beyondhormones.health and you can check out the website and you can email us or you can call us at 561-877-5957.
One more time, slow.
561-877-5957. 5957 or our website www.beyondhormones.health, and we'll be happy to help you and work with you. You know, I'm doing functional medicine. I'm starting now. And, you know, you can go to Boca, all these places, and you'll have to pay like $10,000 in a year for the doctor to see you, you know, because it's very comprehensive. But I'm not doing this because I want more money or anything like that. You don't understand. I have a passion. I don't want that suffering that I saw with my mother, my patients, to happen. And I'm in a position that God has blessed me above and beyond, that I can take my time and offer out to people. So I'm willing to work. You know what I mean? I'm not super expensive right now. I'm starting. I'm humble about it. But my goal here is to help people, because my major satisfaction is see people going back to health. And I tell you, I mean, I had my dream, but I've had many dream vacations. I've gone everywhere. But there is nothing that gives me so much pleasure in my life that is to be with my patient and help them to get back in health. And, you know, now I feel I have more knowledge, more, you know, I'm an eternal student, okay? Because every day things are changing, and what we believe in the past is not what we believe in the future. But you know what? I want to help you. And we are partners in this. It's not all about, oh, I'm like authoritarian, tell you what to do. No, I want to listen to what you have to tell me. The problem many times that we feel nowadays is that we're not listening to our patients. What are their needs? What are their concerns? What really matters to them? And, you know, not everybody has the same goals. Not everybody wants to look wonderful at whatever age, right? But you know what? I bet you that nobody wants to become a burden to others in their loved ones.
You want to feel good. You want that energy and that, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
My kids have already told me, Dad, don't worry about it. You're going to a nursing home. Thanks, kids. Love you.
No, it's a difficult time. I mean, my mom has a little bit of Parkinson's, and she's been battling, but her mother had it a little bit, and she lived until she was like 98. My mother's 84, and I can see it's really been difficult on my dad because he takes care of my sister.
Yeah. And Luis, that's a neurodegenerative disease. Yeah. Those are still all those diseases. We can look at the root cause of them in a base of functional medicine. Again, root cause, system approach, and help them.
Yeah, my coach of baseball here at FSU, he got put in a nursing home yesterday. He's bad.
They're springing. And I mean,
it's a shame because they call me and like, wow, we're gonna go up there. He doesn't even know who you are. He doesn't know his wife. He doesn't know his kids. The
so
grandkids
sad.
Are not allowed to be with him because he doesn't know who they are, and who knows what he's gonna do to them. So
it destroys the whole family.
Yeah, it's tough.
We gotta wrap this up, Doc Maria. I love you. You're amazing. Thank you for being here with us.
Thank you for the privilege of being here and sharing my story.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. We'll bring
you
back.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to The Secret to My Success. For more episodes, go on over to secrettomysuccess.com. That's secret, the number 2, mysuccess.com.